Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray. God of our stories, help us to write a new chapter while we remember the stories of old. Amen. Who told you about God? Do you think you just always knew? Or did someone spend a little time with you when you were a child and talk to you about God? Maybe it was right here in church. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or your grandmother. Maybe somebody gave you a picture Bible. For me, that's what happened when I was 7. My Aunt Teresa gave me a Tizay picture Bible, and I loved it. I think I've talked about it to you before. I read these stories over and over. I even loved the pictures, and that taught me about God. So thank you, Aunt Teresa. There's a little girl in our story today, and if you read the story too quickly, you miss her part. But she also knows the stories of God, and she tells her master's wife about that God. This is a little slave girl. She's an Israelite, and when the Aramaeans, which are the Syrians, have a war with the Israelites, she is captured. She's abducted. So she's serving as a slave in a household, and her master becomes ill with leprosy. Now, leprosy at this time is any infectious skin disease. It doesn't have to be Hansen's disease. It can be anything. But no antibiotics mean no treatment. So if it's an infection, Naaman's in trouble. Naaman is a big, powerful man, and he is used to giving orders, and people listen. But here, he listens to the words of a little slave girl because her words give him hope. And then Naaman takes that hope and he goes straight to the government because we know that the people in power are going to do everything to make everything okay, right? That's how it works now, correct? So there's a mess because the king of Syria sends a letter with Naaman to the king of Israel. And he says, thanks for healing my servant Naaman, and here's some money for your trouble. And the king of Israel smells a trap. If he sends Naaman back and he's not healed, there's going to be a war. That's disrespectful. So the king of Israel does what grief-stricken people do in the Old Testament. He rips his robes, and Elisha hears about it. Now, do we remember Elisha from last week? When he saw Elijah go up in the whirlwind, ever since that moment, he has been creating miracles, performing miracles left and right. He's been healing the sick. He's been feeding the hungry. He's been raising the dead. He's on a streak. So Elisha says to the king of Israel, "What are you worried about? Send the man to me." Now, Elisha isn't just believing the stories of God. Elisha knows God is with him. He is actually creating the stories. He's writing new chapters with every event, and his faith is really strong. Now, I loved all the stories in this book. But as I grew older, I did not know if they were true, or rather if there was truth in them. So I wanted to know. When I was in my 20s, early 20s, a friend gave me a Bible, and I read it from cover to cover. And then I was hooked. I really wanted to study it, and I wanted to spend my life studying the stories. But I needed to know if there was truth in them. Is it something worth spending your life on? And as I read through the Bible, I came across a verse that said, "If you ask for anything in my name, it will be given." Anything I could ask for anything in Jesus' name and I would receive it. So I took that literally. I took that as a promise. But I didn't want to ask for anything too difficult, you know, in case God was weak. Maybe God's on vacation. Maybe God's sleeping. So I decided I would ask to see a moose. Not in Indiana. That would be a big miracle. But I was going to be out west with my husband on vacation. We were going to spend one day in Yellowstone Park. And I asked God if I could see one moose on one day in that one park. And if that happened, then I would know that there's truth in these stories. And I was prepared to spend my whole life studying the Bible. I mean, how hard could that be? One moose in Yellowstone. I was setting the bar way low. Now, Naaman also had expectations. He's a man that commands respect. He expected to go to the home of Elisha, and Elisha was going to rush out to greet him and wave his hands over Naaman and say some magic words, and then Naaman was going to suddenly be healed. That's what he expected to happen. And when it did not happen, he was furious. Elisha didn't even come out of the house. Elisha sent his servant with a prescription. Go take a bath 7 times in the Jordan, which isn't necessarily clean, but go ahead and do that. And Naaman is absolutely enraged. He's ready to leave, but fortunately he has servants who stop him and say, hey, you've come all this way. Why don't you at least give it a try? Give this God a try. Do what the man said to do. I was giving God a try too, but the faith of this little girl was sorely tested that day. Everywhere we went in Yellowstone Park, I looked for that moose. I was absolutely sure I was going to see one. We saw hundreds, maybe thousands of buffalo. And we saw signs that said, danger, do not approach the wildlife. Many visitors have been gored by buffalo, and my husband took the camera and ran right past those signs, getting the close-up shot of the buffalo while I sat in the car screaming, many visitors are gored by buffalo. He made it, got a good shot of a buffalo, came back to the car. Then we drove to another place, walked some trails. I looked every minute for that moose. No moose. Saw some elk. That's another story for another sermon. And when we traveled through the whole park, I still had not seen a moose. I didn't give up hope until we drove out of the exit. And then I told my husband what I had prayed. And he was so upset with me. He said, there is also a verse in the Bible that said, do not put the Lord thy God to the test. So he's looking out waiting for the lightning bolt to strike the car and kill me. And I would have welcomed it, honestly. I was so disappointed. I really thought I was going to see a moose. I thought I'd see 100 moose. I was devastated. Naaman was devastated too. He had no faith. He was willing to try anything except what the prophet told him to do. But his servants insisted. So what did he have to lose? He went ahead, put himself in the Jordan 7 times, and when he comes out, his skin, the text says, is like that of a little boy. The words of a little girl result in the skin of a little boy. He found his faith in the Jordan that day. He found God. But I had left mine in Yellowstone. I don't remember much as we drove away that day, except that I remember thinking, okay, there's no God, or worse, there's a God who just doesn't care. And as we drove away slowly, I remember that the road kind of curved to the left. And as I'm sitting there crying, my husband starts screaming, "There's your moose, Judy, there's your moose." And he pulls off the road and parks, and right beside the car, just a few feet away, is this huge Shiras moose standing in a pool of water, dipping its nose down under the water and pulling up vegetation. And the setting sun is just casting the light perfectly, so its coat is glistening and the water is pouring off its muzzle. And it looks at me, this is hard for me to even say, and walks up the bank and across the road in front of our car. And I have no experience with a moose at all, other than Rocky and Bullwinkle, right? So I had no idea that something that huge could move with so much grace. And it just kind of moved across the road in front of the car, and I'm still crying, thanking God, just incredulous. I cannot believe that it happened the way that it did. And meanwhile, my husband is still screaming. He's over the seat of the car, rummaging around in the back seat, yelling, "Where's the camera? Where's the camera?" And I couldn't help him because I was too awestruck. I couldn't take my eyes off this moose. And he finally finds the camera, jumps out of the car, and as the moose is moving off the road, a little faster now because there's this guy with a camera chasing it, he still gets a picture of that moose. And it's been hanging in our house for 35 years. When I saw that moose, it was after I had given up all hope. I didn't have anything left to try. I had no expectations anymore. And I realized that this God that I've chosen to serve is much bigger than anything I had imagined. That this God will do the work of God in God's time and in God's place and in God's way, and not the way that I plan it. Not in the park, not during the day. It all happened exactly the way it needed to happen. This is the God that I still serve. Now, in our Hebrew story this morning, if we kept reading, we would find out that Naaman also began to serve that God. That experience was so profound for him that he told everybody that this was the God he would serve. And he went back to Syria and he served God there. The words of a little girl, "My master should just go to Israel and then he would be healed." Those few words that she shared from the stories she knew of her homeland convinced this man of power to go try something different. Naaman is the very picture to me of our world. Big, strong, powerful, militarily connected, and utterly without hope. He is the picture of the outcast, the person who doesn't need God, doesn't need church, and is probably never going to come in these doors, the person who is leprous with something infectious on his body that we don't want to come near. He is the picture of this world. And if the words of a little girl can profoundly change him, then the words of all of us, our stories, can change this world. They can make a difference. I am convinced that the church has the medicine that the world needs. God provides that medicine, and the church is one of the best vehicles that we can use to deliver it. And I'm convinced that we have to do more than that. It's not about what kind of music we play. It's not about whether we display our history or if we have stained glass or contemporary worship or liturgical worship, or it's not even about carrying signs for social justice. It's not even about feeding the poor. It is about our expectation. Do we expect to see God at all, anywhere, ever? Do we have that expectation that God is, in fact, helping us write our stories? Or do we pray and say, "Well, hopefully something good will happen"? What expectation do we have? Because when we share our stories, when we expect God to move, God will move. And if we share those stories, it will change the world. I am convinced. So what are your stories of God? Who is the first person who told you there was a God? Because that's the person that started the story. And who have you told? Who have you shared your faith with? I'm not talking about making converts. It's not about increasing membership. It's about sharing hope. Naaman listened to the little girl because her words gave him hope. What are the words of hope that we can share? Because I believe as Christians, it's not just something that's in our ability, it is our responsibility to share those words of hope in a hurting world. Or we can wait for the government to do it. I don't know about you, but I think I'm going to stick with this. Amen. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.